Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to everyone in podcast radio land. This is Ken Hodge, co-producer of Hodge to Hodge Podcast Radio, here with The Messenger. The Messenger may be joining us a little later in the show. We had a little difficulty. I kind of came in late, but nonetheless, I'm going to attempt to present a word from the Messenger without the Messenger here as of right now. So I'd like to say to everyone, good evening, good morning, or wherever you are, whatever time of day it is, let's just start off with good. And again, I'm one of the co-producers of this radio ministry called The Messenger, where my big brother, and I like to call him my big brother, I think he gets a kick out of that also, my big brother is the messenger, and there's no doubt in my mind that he is in direct connect with the Creator himself, and the Creator shares interesting revelations with the both of us. And one of the things that we consistently tell you or try to share with you on our podcast radio show is we try to tell you and consistently remind you, I got you, Brother Messenger, we try to tell you and consistently remind you that you are a powerful being. You are a direct heir to God, and you are in every shape, form, and fashion in God's eyes the same as Jesus was in God's eyes also. So let me just slow that down a little bit and say it again. In God's eyes, when he looked down and he see you, he sees you just as if he's looking at Jesus, just as if he's looking at Muhammad, Buddha, or some of the other biblical figures that play into organized religion. There is no difference because God has no respect for person. We are all his children. And as with any parent, you love all your kids. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of your kids, and I know parents might not want to admit it, but some of your kids may be a little better gifted than other ones. And so your love for them may exceed what is presented for one of your other siblings. It's not to say you don't love them all, but if anybody was to just be real and say, I love you all exactly the same, that's just a bunch of baloney. I can love you all, but I don't love you all the same. Brother Messenger, come on and talk to me. How you doing this evening?
I'm blessed, my brother. A little technical difficulties, but I'm here. What you were saying was right on point. And in the Bible, it tells us that we are all part of the body. And so with us all being part of the body and just relating to what you said, the pinky is no more important than the thumb. You need them all for the body to function accordingly. And this is how we have to look at it. We use the vernacular of sons and daughters and stuff of that nature. But when we really get down to it, we have to understand that God is not a man. It's not human. And our problem is we continue to put God in a human form instead of a spiritual form. So we use the body and the sons and the daughters and stuff, but that's just our way of breaking it down. But if we really get down to it, there is no sons or daughters because we are all the same. We are all one. This is why the message has always been to love ye one another as yourself. Why? Because you are that person. And because we can't get out of our physical being to look at things from a spiritual level, we look at it as almost impossible or as crazy talk. But we have to understand it is nothing but the Spirit of God that is within us. And this is why the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, because God is life. And any and everything that has life is God. And this is something that we can't understand because, as I stated on numerous occasions, we're so busy looking at this physical body. Even though we know that this physical body is going back to the dirt. So this physical body is nothing, but your spirit and soul lives on forever. Eternity. There is no end. For you to die is for God to die, and that's just not possible because God is light. And we've got to start seeing it from a spiritual perspective instead of the human perspective. The human perspective has gotten us to the point where we can't accept or believe who we are, even though if you do any kind of research and all the great messengers that have come, as you mentioned, Brother Buddha, Muhammad, Jesus, Martin, all of these people, this is all that they keep telling us. We are one. We have to love one another as ourselves. Anybody do any kind of research on anything that Jesus said? And all Jesus was trying to tell us is that we are one. But we just can't accept that. We think that Jesus is the special one. And there is no special. Well, we are all special to God because we are all a part of God. We just have to get in touch with the God inside us. And when we do that, then we'll be able to see things so much clearer. But as long as we listen to the preacher, and all those getting in front of us telling us, if we don't do this, we do that, we're going to hell, we're not going to be able to see God for ourselves because we've got blinders on and we refuse to take them off because someone is scaring the living daylights out of us when God has not given us the spirit of fear.
One of the things that happened today at work, brother, was we have a minister that works there. Well, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. We'll just call him a minister. That's the title that he uses. It's just unfortunate that this particular minister gets the truth mixed up very easily. But anyway, he came to me today and he said to me, he's concerned about my soul and he wanted to give me some information. Now, when I'm at work, I wear this apron folded over. It's a kente cloth apron made for me by one of the employees at work. And his trying to help me get in touch with my soul was he wanted to come and tell me something about the book of Deuteronomy with respect to wearing an apron. And I told that brother, first of all, please, and I'm sorry, miss me with that nonsense you're talking. Let's just go from the concept of if you're still trying to help me, first of all, when you approach me with some Old Testament, if, again, it's all a book of stories to me. But I've been, because of my upbringing, I've been raised to believe that we lived under the New Testament when the veil was cracked or whatever, however they describe that. The Old Testament was kind of not applicable to our everyday life. So when he first came at me with Deuteronomy about wearing an apron, then he looked at me and said, you know, he sees that he's trying to help me get my soul right. And I walked up to him and I told him, I said, brother, let me tell you something. Since we're dropping profound statements on each other, it doesn't matter what you do with while you're on this earth. When you die, your soul is going to heaven, and there is nothing you can do about that. He just looked at me in awe, and I wanted to tell him, now, smoke that up. Because, again, and I wasn't giving him just words. I was giving him what I believe. I believe that once we're absent from the body, that we are going to be present with God. Now, again, that I definitely believe, and I believe that to the point where when I tried to explain that to the brother, naturally, that's not what he wanted to hear from me. Probably just as much as I wanted to hear from him about Deuteronomy and me wearing an apron. So, well, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, I hate to cut you off, but yeah, just think about the foolishness that they try to get you to think that God is so petty that if you wore an apron or if a woman wore pants, that it would be displeasing in God's sight. Now, mind you, God is not man or woman, per se. He can be whatever he wants, but God is a spirit. So if God is a spirit, what difference does it make what you have on? How can something you have on stop you from going to hell, to heaven? How? And then you want me to believe this type of stuff, but so I have to ask truly, what kind of God is it that they think that they're worshiping? Are they worshiping a God or are they worshiping a king? What are they worshiping? They've got to understand what deity is as opposed to royalty. Deity, God being God, needs absolutely nothing because he is God and he has everything. So if he doesn't need anything, then what can you do that would make him mad? If he doesn't need anything from you.
Hey, Brother Messenger, we have someone from 954 joining us. Hey, caller, how you doing?
Oh, fine. Hi. How are you, everyone?
Who is this, Nurse Carmen?
Fine, my dear. Now, Florida.
Oh, hi. Hi, Messenger.
Boy, you don't sound like Nurse Carmen.
Oh, all right.
I know, but I'm just saying, once he said Florida, I realized that you were her sister, but I mean, boy, you sound, I started to call you Sister Wanda, but go ahead, we're going to keep on moving. we ain't going to turn this into the attic. We're going to keep this message out, boy. But nice that you joined us.
We're
talking about some of the nonsense that people want you to hold on to. You know, I guess the brother was, I know he was, it wasn't sincere because he started off with telling me about his concern for my soul, but he wants to address an apron that I wear. What I wear ain't got nothing to do with my soul. So I just gave him a nice overhand of smash back and told him, listen, let me give you something, man. But unlike that nonsense you just tried to give me about my apron, let me tell you something that's real from my perspective. And that is, you can do whatever you want to do right now, but when it's all said and done, God is taking back what belongs to God. And that just makes more sense than anything else any of these other religions want to tell me. They want to tell me, again, if I don't praise God, if I don't praise God forever 5-6 times a day, that he don't hear my prayers. And I go through this, no disrespect. Hey, caller, how you doing? This baby, bro. 973, how we doing?
I'm good.
Oh, that's the real Nurse Carmen. Okay. All right. See, we had a personator.
That's
we had
the
a
real
personator. Yeah, that's the real Nurse Carmen. Okay. All right. But no, wait a minute now. I'm just saying, since you still real too.
I heard what he said, Pudgy.
Huh?
I heard what he said.
That's the real Nurse Carmen. Okay, because your sister was sounding like you, that's all. But I try to explain this to a lot of the brothers at work, the Muslims, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the things that they do, and I tell them, don't be mad at me because I'm trying to share what I believe, just like I won't be mad at you for you trying to share what you believe. But we had a conversation. When the Muslims go to pray, they do what we call a wudu. It is a symbolic cleansing of yourself. And if you don't go through the act of symbolically cleaning yourself, then Allah will not hear your prayer. And I told him, that don't even make any sense to me. You mean to tell me Allah knows that you work here in this dirty place, but unless you find time to clean yourself, and again, not making fun of any of my Islamic brothers, but when I seen them take water and just wet the top of their sneakers to be symbolic of washing your feet, and I said to them, why don't you stop that, man? Why don't you not even do that and just still go and pray? And they are convinced that if I've not gone through the customary voodoo, then Allah won't hear my prayer. And I don't know. I just have a hard time digesting that from any religion now.
We've got to go back to this thing that I want people to understand. The fact that it may sound crazy, but we have been brainwashed. We have to understand that God is within us. And when God is within us, as you're driving down the car, driving down the street in your car, and you're talking per se to yourself, who do you think is listening? It's only God. That is your prayer. Any communication with God per se is a prayer. God does not need us to worship him. All we need to do is recognize that he is God. He doesn't need your prayer, your worship. He doesn't need all of that. When you know who you are, do you need somebody to confirm it for you? The only way I'm going to do anything for you is you exalt me. I'm God. I don't need you to be exalted. For you to exalt me, I can't go any higher than I am. This is all me. So why do I need me to praise me? We give thanks. We give thanks for being able to recognize that it's God that's working, and it's God that's working through us. When we want something, we have a talk with God, and God, certain things, God reveal it to us, and certain things we don't listen to him, and we go about it the wrong way. But anytime you have communication with God and you be patient and observant for him to answer, you do not go wrong. And that's whether you wipe the bottom of your sneakers or go dip in some dirty pool just for form or fashion. God doesn't need that. This is all man's creation. And the word tells us, do not put your trust in man. But we go by whatever it was that man wrote in the books and handed down to us. And why do you need to go to the book if you've got God in you? Now, I can understand if somebody tried talking to God and he never answered them, okay, go to the book. But I guarantee you, if you have a sincere conversation, that God will answer you. You just have to be on the lookout for the answer. And what I mean by that is sometimes you could ask God something and go to your TV and turn the TV, and somebody will say something that answers your question. God has all of these different avenues to work at, but we think unless God cracked the sky and opened up heaven, and then otherwise you're not hearing from God. God is right here with you. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So if he'll never leave you, that means he's with you always. And why is that so hard for us to understand? Jesus died trying to get people to understand this. And instead of them hearing what it is that Jesus said, they waited 300 years later for some people to put together some writings of some of his prophets that were some of his disciples that didn't even know what he was talking about when he was here. He had some disciples here that understood, but those 12, they didn't really know what Jesus was talking about. It's even written in the Bible where Jesus said, how long do I have to be with y'all before y'all understand this? They just didn't know, but now we're going to base our whole lives on what they wrote and what was messed over and put together instead of just going straight to the source.
And that's very interesting when we talk about the disciples. And again, most of the writings, and again, we go back and forth with this book called the Bible, but most of the writings, even make it very clear that the 12 brothers that hung out with Jesus, you're right, didn't know what he was doing. But I'm here to tell you, if I'm hanging out with you, Brother Messenger, and I see you walk to a blind person that is already validated that they are blind, and you give him a word or you give him a touch, and that brother can now see, well, trust me, you will have a hard time getting me to set up about telling everybody about the work that you did. You know, again, maybe if you did it once, I might be like, okay, whatever. But when I see you do that with consistency, then I'm going to be in full understanding that, yeah, you are operating from a plane that most people can't get to. And my first thought would be get there. But
Let me explain this to you. Part of the reason. Let me just explain this to you. Part of the reason why they couldn't accept it as you're saying now. Because they saw Jesus as Jesus. They've left behind, they've got us with this picture of Jesus as being this quote-unquote perfect person, which he was, but he was perfect in the human sense. But they've got him as if, once again, he did no wrong. Jesus was just like everybody else. He just came to the knowledge of who he was. And so they seen Jesus when Jesus used to play in the mud. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Because they seen him as a child growing up. But we've got them thinking that, you know, we've got people thinking that Jesus was this perfect person. And he was just a person just like we were. So this is why it was hard for a lot of the disciples to truly comprehend what it was that he was saying. The same way I'm saying the exact same thing to them, but people don't want to hear this. Why? Because that's nobody but Mother Mac's son. He don't know what he's talking about. But I'm telling you just what it is that Jesus said. Jesus said faith the size of a mustard seed, that he didn't say to any certain person. He said anybody. You can move a mountain. And if we stop and look over our lives, there's been some times that we've done some miraculous things. And nobody, no sky opened up and did it for us. We did it. And we looked back and wondered about it, but we did it. And we did it because of who we really are. We are creations of God. But we let them tell us that we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So we think any and everything we do, if it's not according to the Bible, is wrong. But God gave you free will for a reason, so that you can go out and create whatever you think is the best life for yourself. And when I say for yourself, I really mean for yourself, not for your mother, your brother, your sister, or anybody, but for yourself. And then as you have that best life, then you look at things a whole lot different, and you're not so quick to judge other people because all is right with you. Those that love to judge is because they got issues. And so they look at, as they said, misery loves company. So they're looking to take that out on somebody else. There's a certain way you got to walk across the street or else you're just pleasing to God. There's certain foods that everything God made was good. For a while in the Old Testament, you couldn't eat this, you couldn't eat that. Then all of a sudden, the New Testament, that it was good. What changed? What changed was their belief. They changed it. God said everything he made was good.
Everything.
Yes, Jesus said, a new commandment Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that ye love ye one another. Now, according to the story, he came back through all those generations, came straight from heaven, and he told us, the new thing that I tell you is that you love one another. The same thing God said from the very beginning.
And you know what makes that so powerful, brother? If you look at just that concept, and let's just say, for example, let's live in a utopia, a hypothetical utopia for a second. If every soul that is breathing grasps the concept of love ye one another, tell me what or how is it possible that anything in this world can be wrong or bad? if we all move from the base concept of love ye one another. Because if I love you, I'm not going to hurt you. Now, I'm not going to say you may not get hurt as a byproduct of some of the things that we may engage in.
Right.
But I'm not going to set it up that you should be hurt if I build that from the basic concept of love ye one another. And again, when we talk about simplicity, what could be simpler than that? What could be simpler than here's the ministry. Treat everybody like you want to be treated. Treat everybody in that same manner.
And what you'll understand is when you take that concept, and as you said, somebody might get hurt. But what you have to understand is if you take that hurt and count that hurt as joy, you're not hurting anymore. We've just been programmed to think that everything is bad. Just because you started dating somebody and that didn't work out, that was bad. It wasn't bad. It was just part of a learning experience so that now the next time you know whether I want to date somebody like that again or I want to date somebody like somebody a different way. But if you count it all joy instead of looking at it as everything was just so messed up and bad, then we would have a clear perspective on things. But we're so determined to make things right or wrong.
Brother Messer, let me hear from the sister from Florida. Well, what are your feelings on this, sister?
I mean, I don't know.
I'm going to have to see a picture of you because every time I talk to you, all I see is Dirge Carmen. Yeah, I'm going to have to. Every time I talk to you now, all I see is Dirge Carmen.
Oh, I really feel like this.
Yeah. But anyway, let me ask you, do you believe that that love is important, or do you believe that we should continue to follow the guidelines in that book they call the Bible?
I believe that love is important.
Okay.
I don't necessarily believe you have to follow it, the guidelines, you know, as strictly as some people believe that they should follow them, or that they say they follow them, or they try to get other people to you know, think that they do or should do.
You know, one thing that puzzles me about that whole concept is if you actually read the Bible, one of the lessons that you will learn, God sent Jesus here to save the Jew people, the Jewish people. He didn't come here for us. Now, just think about that concept. All these people that's on this earth right now, God said, you know what? I'm going to save that group right there. Already, I got a flaw in the concept. I can't imagine the Creator saying everybody else can be lost, but I'm going to save that one particular group. Hey, listen, podcast family, I've got about 60 seconds left because we're only on a half-hour show tonight. I think we're going to have to start making a messenger hour all the time, but I'm going to have to give our quick goodbyes, and then we'll crank this messenger up for an hour in the future. So let's say our goodbyes, and we're going to pick up right here on Saturday night, 11 o'clock, right where we left off. So let's get our goodbyes in there so we can move on. Come on, Florida.
Good night, everyone. Don't move back
so
fast.
Huh?
I was saying, you're buying Wi-Fi so fast.
Oh, come on, Nurse Carmen, the real Nurse Carmen.
Good night, everybody. Love you guys.
Come on, Bester, take us home, man.
I just want us to, if we're going to use the Bible as a roadmap, just think about all the killing and all of the destruction, even though part of the quote-unquote Ten Commandments was, thou shalt not kill. But think about all the killing that's done in the Bible, quote-unquote, in God's name. Bless
you all. God said, we can't kill, not him. Watch this. I'm going to set an example that you can see but don't emulate. Hey, listen, this is Kenny Hodges. We're about to sign off from Hodges to Hodges Podcast. And as always, I enjoy being enlightened by my brother, the messenger. Tune in to the podcast and feed your soul. Hey, good night, fellas. I'm at group. And again, we're going to go ahead. We're going to go ahead and extend this out to an hour starting next week.
Bless you, my brother.
Good night.
Yes, ma'am.
Good night, everyone.
Okay. Bye-bye.